The scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Hello and welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for January 13th, 2017. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sami, and we're here this week to preview the Australian Open from Melbourne, Australia. This week's podcast is brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours. Make sure to hit them up for any tickets that you need next week for the Australian Open. Before we begin this week's show, let's introduce Parsa. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. Happy New Year, Nima.
Happy New Year to you too, buddy. Great to have you back. Great to have everybody else back as well. Been off, obviously, since the end of the World Tour Finals at the end of last year. Off-season has taken place and ended. First couple weeks of the season are in the books. And it's been pretty good, Parsa, to be honest with you. We've had Roger Federer come back in action. We've seen how, you know, world number one on the women's side, Angelique Kerber, has necessarily not played her best tennis. Serena also suffered an early round loss. We've had Nadal win an exhibition in Abu Dhabi, and then he obviously made the quarters, I believe, in Brisbane. We've had Dimitrov win a tournament. We have Jack Sock in the tournament final tomorrow in Auckland. So a lot going on. Joanna Konta just won Sydney yesterday against Radwanska, so she's going to be going into Melbourne with some form. So a lot to discuss. I think, Parsa, with all of that said, and I don't think I'm wrong here, I think everybody is really looking forward to seeing Roger Federer back in real tournament. He hasn't played since the Wimbledon semifinals, where he lost to Raonic in five sets. So it's going to be pretty big for him. And we don't know his opponent as of this second. He's going to play a qualifier. So he's got like four guys around him, quality guys. It's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. And before we kick off our draw previews for both the men and the women, can you just quickly say, are there any developing storylines that you're going to be looking forward to during the fortnight down under?
Yeah, for me, you know, Federer is obviously a good story, but he's not a contender for me. I'm looking at two specific things. One, who's the young gun that's going to step up? Zverev has been showing signs that he's ready to encapsulate and make a deep run and really capture the hearts of the world. I think he's the one to watch at the moment. And then the second for me is, I guess there's maybe three. The second would be Djokovic. How does he rebound and does he regain his form and put 2016 behind him? And how does that story really unfold? Because I think this year will be very telling. If he comes back and becomes that cold-blooded assassin that we've come to know, then, you know, his legacy will be cemented and he'll win a significant amount of Grand Slams. If he comes out and sort of wishy-washy the way he was at the end of last year, the last 6 months, you know, it could really be the beginning of the end for Nole. So it's a very interesting one. And then the third storyline for me is also about Andy Murray and seeing how he does in terms of the pressure being on his back, and now he's the number one player and the guy to beat week in and week out. And you know, it can be an opportunity for him to cement his legacy and start to put some slams under his belt. So I think there's a few directions everything can go, and it seems to be going to be a very interesting 2017 and 2017 Australian Open.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, we are headed towards a Murray and Djokovic final on the men's side. I think you're looking at about four and a half hours there. I mean, if anything, I mean, they played about a three-hour match in Doha, which is in Qatar, which is like a three-setter. You know, Djokovic was serving for the match. He had all that. And then Murray came back and he had chances in the third. And they played such, we've been through this, you know, the Miami finals, the other slam finals. They play such a similar style. And because Djokovic has dropped off a little bit, Murray picked it up a little bit. Now it's perhaps even more even than it has ever been. So it's gonna be right there. And I think that one thing that was really established for me during that Qatar final, Parsa, was these guys are such, they're at such a physically different level than everybody else that you gotta come in there with something massive if you're gonna take these guys out. In a slam, especially with five sets in front of you and all that. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, can it be done? Absolutely, it can be done because there's other great players in this field, but it's going to be a very tough task to upend either one of those two before, the final day of the event. So I mean, that's pretty much all I got on my end. Parsa, let's just jump right into, the draws and see how they unfold. Let's start with the men's side before we describe our thoughts on the women's field. Obviously led by Andy Murray, he starts off with Ilya Marchenko, who's an absolute warrior, but I think Murray's going to roll through that. So Parsa, for me in this particular quarter number one, I have Murray, Lucas Pouille, Fed, and Nishikori as my only four guys that I can see advancing from here on in, right? Fed is down to number 17 in the world. So let's just spend a second on him because obviously it's a compelling story for everybody in the world and his millions of fans. He's coming in as the 17th seed. And Pseudo Fed on Twitter this morning, he said, "Can somebody tell me what this number is beside my name? Because I'm not really familiar with it." And obviously, he's going to obviously say something witty. I responded, "It's probably just, the total of your Grand Slams, which is 17. So no need to worry." But in fact, obviously, it is his seeding for this tournament based on the fact that he hasn't played in, 6, 7 months. So he comes in, he's going to potentially, other than the qualifiers that he has in his first couple of rounds, and some good guy might pop in there. He's got Nishikori in round four, Murray in the quarter. So he has proven that he can beat these guys in the past, guys who are relatively closer to his age than a guy like Alex Zverev or, Taylor Fritz or whatever. But nevertheless, I think apart from the first couple of rounds where he could find his footing, it's going to be a tough road for Fed going forward. One other thing, Parsam, we're going to throw at you is one of our listeners, Ahmed. He had messaged me, emailed me before the start of the season, and he said that, pardon me, not during the start of the season, but last week during the Hopman Cup, saying that, watching that tournament and that three-set loss that he had to Zverev, he was wondering that, with all of the excitement and the experience and the love for the sport that Federer has, and that's undeniable for anybody. That's obviously cemented. He's back in action. He's going to be 36 in August. So that's still quite a ways away. He's still 35. Is it going to be guys like a Zverev or a Thiem or a Taylor Fritz, those really young guys who are like 14, 15, 16 years younger than him that are going to ultimately expedite his retirement and force him out of the game? Because as he was saying, as he believes that Fed can still hang with the likes of like Dimitrov and Raonic and Nishikori. What are your thoughts on that before we break down this draw quick here?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, someone has to knock him out. And whether it's the young generation or a combination of his own health and the younger generation, I think what the younger generation definitely poses that you realize how you're lacking in the firepower, in the pliability, in the movement. It becomes very glaring when someone's, let's say, 8 years younger than you. It's could be pseudo similar in movements and those kinds of things, but then you see a young guy and he's doing a full split and hitting 120 mile an hour forehand. You're like, well, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so I think it becomes very apparent that your deficiencies are very deficient.
Yeah.
And I think so. In that way, I do think that there is an effect on the younger guys. At the same time, I think Federer will try to counteract the young guys with his veteran brilliance. So I think it's a two-folded process, but I think at some point the power becomes greater than the experience,
yes,
and that will be the end of him.
Yeah, exactly. But he's still obviously here, and we have to respect that. And he's a 17-time major champion, one of the all-time greats, maybe the greatest. So, but
and,
with
and we've had guys in history play 39, 40, so
yeah, and
it's
he's
possible.
Probably yeah, he's gonna probably get close to that, I would say, unless he has an absolutely horrendous year full of injuries again. You know what I mean? I think if he does okay, if he can get back into the top 10, which I really think he can, because he has no points to defend. He is not like, except for semis of Australia and Wimbledon, which are obviously two big results. I don't think he makes it here in Australia, but definitely he can at Wimbledon. He's got Indian Wells where he's played well. He's got Miami. I don't think you're going to see him much during the clay season. And then you'll see him probably play, obviously, the summer hard courts, the US Open. Fall, he usually does really well. So he has no points. There's no reason why it doesn't make some semis, some quarters. That, right there, you're back, you're close to the top 10, right? With 0 points to defend. So we'll see how it goes. But within this quarter, I really can't see anybody. I mean, Murray for me, this is it's the beginning of the year. Last year, with all of that hanging over his head, with his pending child being born and his wife not being there and his father-in-law, collapsing and all of that drama. I think that he still made the finals and he didn't play a great match against Djokovic by any means, but he was still in the finals. So this year, with a clear head, with a much more security around him, and the fact that he's number one and he was on such a great winning streak before losing to Djokovic in the finals of Qatar, I really think you got to give him, the ability to at least get to the semifinals here. What's your thoughts on that, Parson?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, he is the guy. Every tournament we have the guy, and he's the guy that who's got the target. And you beat him, and you make a name for yourself for the rest of your life. So, I think that certainly is a very, very fair assessment in that he's the man to beat in that section.
Yeah, so I mean that's I think we're both in agreement that he's gonna most likely be in the final four. Moving on from there to quarter number two, we have Stan Wawrinka, former champion here as well in 14, 2014. He starts off with Clizon, potentially Steve Johnson in round two. Very workable draw for Stan. We know he starts off slow, so don't be surprised if he goes to potentially even some four or five setters against those guys. But I still like his chances of getting through. Very interesting potential fourth round encounter on deck against local boy Nick Kyrgios, who hasn't played since his debacle at the Shanghai Masters. That could be an amazing match. I don't think you're going to see any of the animosity that took place in Montreal. I think that's behind everybody now, even though some people in the media are going to try to hype that up, which I mean is I guess they're going to try to do that, but I don't really care about that stuff anymore. If that does take place, Parsa, and we have a healthy Nick Kyrgios, if we have a healthy Nick Kyrgios, because he's carrying a knee injury now from the offseason, I think that you see Kyrgios get through that. But if that's not the case, then obviously I like Stan to get through this quarter. Other notables are Tsonga, which we haven't really heard of much. I don't know what he's really been up to. Hasn't played. I don't think he's played an event this year yet. He's coming in as a 12th seed. We have Karen Khachanov, who's an up-and-coming Russian, Murat Safin 2.0. Watch out for him. I mean, he's going to probably be close to the top 20, I think, by the end of this year. He's just an awesome physical specimen. And then we ended off with number 7 seed Marin Cilic against former top 14 in the world, Jiří Janowicz, who's just a head case, but tremendous amount of power. And that's going to be an interesting match for me to watch early on. So within this quarter, Parsa, what do you have? I'll give you mine right now. I'm going to say Wawrinka gets through, but with the asterisks of if Kyrgios is healthy, that he gets through. That's my call.
And I'm gonna have Wawrinka through regardless.
Okay.
And I don't think, and the reason why I don't have an asterisk is I don't think that Kyrgios works hard enough to get really to the fourth round of something physical like the Australian Open.
That's fair, yeah.
A knee injury is even more of an excuse to not, push and put in the work and he just, I don't know. He's very tough to believe in right now and to predict with him and Stan is a proven champion and somebody who if he does get through those first four or five setters in the first couple of rounds then look out. I mean he's a locomotive and once he gets going it's a big sign to the world.
Yes, no question about it. So, and I mean he knows how to and watch out as you said. As he gets into the latter stages of these tournaments, he becomes really dangerous. So that's something really to keep an eye on. So, Parson, now we're moving on to quarter number three. which is led by Milos Raonic, you know, coming in as number three in the world. So you got to give him props for that. Starts off against Dustin Brown, showman from Germany. And then we have Gael Monfils as number six, who, again, haven't heard much from him. We don't know what state he's coming in. You've given me a little bit of background that, you know, he was having some fun in Florida last week. So we'll see how he responds in this tournament. Interesting first rounder right under the Monfils, Yuri Vesely is Dolgopolov versus Chorich. So that would be a really good one for the fans to see on an outside court. But for me, Parsa, the one guy here that could really do some damage here is Alex Zverev. Starts off against Robin Hossy. He's got potentially a blockbuster against Nadal in the third round. And if that does take place, I'm taking Zverev to get through that, to be quite honest with you. I just think that the court surface, you know, the belief, the youthfulness, and just his overall game at this stage on this particular court. And one other thing, Parsa, I want to mention is Patrick Mortalagu. He was quoted last week as saying that the Australian Open courts are faster this year than they, substantially faster this year than they were last year. So that's massive for me. That could also help Fed, so we can even backtrack a little bit and go up to that, you know, that top half. But I think that, you know, when you look at that, you know, Nadal has historically not played well on fast surfaces. He comes in, Florian Mayer is not going to be an easy guy for him to take out, even though I think he'll find a way. Baghdatis, again, or Yuzhny, I think those guys really can't overpower him. But again, you know, they're competent players who formerly have been in the top 10. I think he gets through him. But a guy like Zverev, who has obviously been touted for a lot of good reasons as a future number one player, I really think that he will have enough to take out Nadal potentially in that third round. Now, we move up a little bit, Parsa, and we look at a guy like Gael Monfils as the number six seed. He's supposed to get through to the quarterfinals. That might not happen, right? So then that even opens up the door for Zverev to even make potentially the quarterfinals. You know, what are your thoughts on that before you give me who you got in going into the semis here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this could be the opportunity that he's been waiting for and building his career towards. At the same time, it's very hard with Monfils, you know, to know exactly, you know, where his mental state is and what he's done and put in, because he did have his best season of his life last season. So, you know, will he build on that? And because he has an opportunity here, I think. You know, no offense to Milos and Milos fans, but Milos as a three seed is you know, I'm not sure. You know, I don't know if he's the third best player in the world right now. And although the ranking says that, it doesn't always necessarily go based on what each and every one's opinion is. In reality, he is the third best player in the world. But I'm not sure he holds the weight of the third best player in the world, which would make it a clear assumption that he should be a semifinalist. And I'm not so sure that's going to happen. But, you know, in terms of Zverev, you know, because of that reason, I think that there is, if there is a section that he could potentially get through, this is the section that I would pick him to get through. So he's got to go and do it. You know, that is the hard part.
Okay, so for me, I'm going to go out on a limb here and actually say that Zverev makes the semifinals of this tournament. Yeah, what do you have?
You know, despite all of my judgments and my thought process, I did see a little change with Milos. I watched him play a little bit last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, lost to Dimitrov.
You know, he's a little bit different. And what I mean by that is he's hitting a bit bigger. He's not relying on his movement as much, and he's trying to shorten the points consciously. I'd like to see how it plays out, but I think he's still got one of the biggest weapons in the world. And at the same time, as I say that it's an opportunity for these guys in this section to get to a semifinal, it's also the greatest opportunity for Milos, as he is the highest ranked player in that section. And I think he's going to fulfill that destiny. I think he's going to make the semis here.
Yeah, I mean that's the right call. I just think that in terms of athleticism and ground game, if he can hold it together, I think that Zverev has the complete package, you know, in that section to do some damage. So we shall see. as we always do. So moving now to the fourth and final, before we get into the women's here, we have Djokovic as the number two seed. He's got a very tough first round encounter, or is it, Parsa, against Fernando Verdasco? Let's just put that, let's set this one up. Verdasco had five match points against Djokovic in the semis of Qatar last week before succumbing, and Djokovic got through and then beat Murray in the finals to take that tournament, defend his title. It's going to be interesting for me here because I think if Djokovic gets through that, he for sure gets through a second round to probably get to at least a fourth, where he has Dimitrov, who won Brisbane last week. I think if Dimitrov is playing at the height of his game and he has beat Djokovic in the past, that's going to be a good one. Now, if Dimitrov flames out, then it's going to be a cakewalk, I think, for Djokovic to get through here because, I mean, I don't think team is still recovered from last year. So I think you're going to see an upset even against potentially Struff in the first round. Who knows what's going to happen there? We have, a guy of our generation, Parsa, we can relate, is Tommy Haas, 38 years old, coming in. You know what I mean? Just tremendous. And I really don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts on Haas there? And then who else we have? We have Karlovic. What? How old is he? 38, 39 himself. And then,
The old man quarter over there.
yeah, and then I got Dimitrov, and then Djokovic. So it's for me, yeah. I mean, it's more absolutely Djokovic should get through here. It's just really about him because we have if he was rolling and he was still number one, this would be an afterthought. We'd say Djokovic, wrap it up. What's happening now, right? But just because of kind of the drama that's been around him with his mentality, and he doesn't have Becker anymore. We haven't talked about that either. Where does he stand, right? So I don't know. What are your thoughts overall on this before we wrap this one up?
Verdasco is good for one match with the Australians, so
Yeah. That could change
look out
everything,
for
though,
that
right?
one. But because we're all looking out for that one, I do feel like you're right, whether you said on air or off air. I think it's going to end up being like a straight set Djokovic, just because he's going to come out completely threatened and ready to locked and loaded, ready to go. And I think for him, it's really important if he sets the pre if he gets into a dogfight, I think it could be not the best thing. Sometimes I think a dogfight is good early on, sometimes I don't. I think for Djokovic here, if he goes through with a dominant performance, I think that he will have that aura of invincibility starting to build again. And I think he'll just blaze through the rest of their draw. So I think it's very interesting how that first round match goes. I think it's going to be very telling. At the same time, in terms of anyone else in that section, whether it's Tommy Haas or Ivo Karlovic, I mean, these guys are not threats for quarterfinal placement or semifinal placement. So, they could be good for a match or two here and there. But other than that, for me, it's Djokovic all the way in this section.
Yeah, for sure. So now, Parsa, we gotta wrap this one up. We have Murray. I have Murray facing Wawrinka. I have Zverev facing Djokovic. I have Murray getting through Stan, and then I have Djokovic beating his young opponent in the semis. And then I have Murray defeating Djokovic, five sets in 4.5 hours, to win his fourth Grand Slam. What do you have?
Yeah, so I've got Murray and Wawrinka, it's tough. Wawrinka at that stage is probably one of the toughest outs, if not the toughest out at that stage if he gets there.
Exactly, yeah.
But the big if is the if, and Murray is the form guy. I think he advances to the final, and I've got Milos on the bottom there against Djokovic, and really, I'm really interested now to hear what the court speed or see what the court speed is like because that would make a big difference for me in the Milos Djokovic matchup, as I think Milos can push him very, very far in that semifinal match. Not sure that he's going to be able to come through, but I think it could be exhausting and difficult. And so, this is going to be my quandary here. I may be kicking myself later, but I'm going to go with good old steady and say that Djokovic is going to advance as well. And I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to go with 5 hours and 5 minutes, Murray defeating Djokovic in five sets.
Yeah, it's going to just be an absolute war out there. Okay, very good. So let's move now quickly to the women's draw. It's led by defending champion Angelique Kerber, who comes in with, a cloud of uncertainty, losing a couple early round encounters, to start this season. But she still is the defending champion. She's going to have that, those good vibes coming in into Melbourne in her first round. And it's an interesting quarter because you like to see her to get through. I don't think she's going to face any difficulties early on. But as the draw develops, I mean, can we see anything from Bouchard? I mean, she made the semifinals this past week, in a warm-up event. But again, she hasn't really done much in a slam for a while now, right? We have other, characters like Coco Vandeweghe, we have Roberta Vinci, who, if it's a faster surface, I think, she can do some damage here. As she showed at the US Open a few years back. And then we have the number seven seed, Garbine Muguruza, who once again, I mean, again, she has game. She's a Grand Slam champion, won the French last year, but where is she mentally right now, right? Like, who we really don't know. And then Sam Crawford, hard-hitting US player. Lauren Davis just won a tournament last week for her maiden title, which was great to see. You got Christina McHale. So you got a lot of Americans here. You got Madison Brengel, Alison Risk. I mean, it's basically Team USA, Coco Vandeweghe, as I mentioned. Luisa Chirco. So I mean, what do you have here? For me, I gotta go with Kerber to get through this one.
Well, just hearing you say how she struggled, and the one thing that she has proven is that she is a better big match player than she is a small match player.
Yes.
And I think just the fact that it's a big high pressure environment, I think it gets her to concentrate and be focused on what she needs to do in order to be successful, greater than it is in other matches. I think there's a greater weight and a greater pressure on her in the slams, and I think for that reason, I do think it's Kerber that gets through.
Okay, I'm right there with you. Now moving on to quarter number two, it's led by number four seed Simona Halep, who's yet to really break through in a major and win one. And we have Kuznetsova coming in as the eighth seed, who had a great end to the season. But with those names said, Parsa, there's one name that I'm looking at, and I'm going to tell you right now, she's my semifinalist in this quarter, and that's Elena Svitolina from Ukraine, the number 11 seed. And I just think that from what I've seen from her, I think she's very quick. She's got those fast twitch muscles. She can hit big shots from all over the court. For me, I think this is her time to really break through and make the semifinals of a major. What are your thoughts? Well, again, let's mention that you have, Venus Williams lurking as the 13th seed. So you have some names here for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think a kind of an open section exactly for what you said.
Yeah.
For someone to make a name for themselves, whether it's Halep to advance deep, or Svitolina to arise, or Venus Williams to re-show her face again as one of the best players in the world. So I think there's a lot of opportunity here. But for me, I'm going to be very interested to see how Halep has done in the off season, and
Yes.
I think she's going to be the one that gets through.
Yeah. I mean, again, really like her game. Very professional, and you got to respect that. Darren Cahill is a class act. So, wishing them all but good things, only good things. Pardon me. And I think that it's going to be, it's interesting to see how that develops. So, quarter number three, Parsa, we have Radwanska as the third seed. She just lost today to Konta in the finals over in Sydney. We have Pliskova, who's coming in as a fifth seed. She's going to be able to, she's I think she's good for a few rounds for sure. With that serve that she possesses, probably the biggest in the women's game alongside Serena at this stage. So again, another very, I think it's safe to say, pretty relatively an open quarter. And you have Samantha, Stosur, who's never done well here. For me, this is, it's actually, this is probably one of the toughest quarters to pick, but I'm gonna go with Pliskova to make the semis here. I think she's gonna, especially if the court speed is fast, and we'll find that, sooner rather than later. I think she's good to make the to the semis here. What are your thoughts?
I mean, another, we always have trouble with the women's game, especially in the beginning of the year.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's very, very hard. There's a lot of players around the same level, and anyone can come through on any given day, and we have so much trouble figuring out who and what and where and when and why. You know, it's one of those things that I'm not so sure, Nima, you know, if it's going to be Pliskova or who else can really make a name for themselves through this draw. I mean, let's see here. I really don't know, Nima. You know, Pliskova is the name for me, is the one that sort of sits with me. But you know, I don't know. I'm going to go with good old reliable and say Radwanska is the one that expands and finds ways on this faster court where she needs the help, but she can also counter and defend the pace as well in the faster court. You know, maybe she finds a way to sneak her way through into the semis.
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, another player in search of her maiden Grand Slam title. So, but she's also just changed rackets recently, so there could be a little bit of a learning curve with that. Moving on to quarter number four, we have Sibulkova, who ended the year off in splendid form, and then Serena Williams in search of number 23. So it's, you can't discount her, but she's got an ultra-tough draw apart. So she starts off with Belinda Bencic, who beat her at the Rogers Cup here a couple of years back. Safarova, who she played in the French Open final a couple of years back. You have Nicole Gibbs. You have Garcia, who can play. Strykova, Petkovic, Konta, who just won a title. Flipkins, who can play. Wozniacki, who's a really good friend of Serena's. I mean, there's so many good players. And Sibulkova. I honestly don't think Serena gets through this quarter, even as bold as a statement as that is. I'm actually going to be going with Sibulkova to make the semifinals here. What's your call?
I mean, I think it's a strong pick. I do think that Serena still will find a way.
Yes.
You know, until she's done, I can't really pick against her in a section of a draw where there isn't another top in-form type player. You know, who's going to take her out in reality? Now, there are tough matches, but who's going to actually take her out? You know, and Bencic probably has the best chance coming in prepared and having played a couple matches this year under her belt. But that being said, it's not like Bencic has been, you know, turning the world on fire or whatever. And so I think that Serena finds a way, and she's going to make it to the semis here.
So, Parson, now we're at the moment of truth before we wrap up this week's show. I have Kerber, Slitovina, I have, and then Pliskova, and then Sibulkova. So I'm going to take Kerber to make the finals, to face Sibulkova, and then I'm going to have Kerber defending her title and winning her third slam. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to have Kerber and Halep, and I think Kerber advances through that one, and I've got a Serena Radwanska, and I think Serena goes through that, and I think we get a rematch of last year's final. But I think that the faster court speed, if so, I think becomes the truth, and I think we get number 23, Michael Jordan's number, from Serena Williams.
That would be, I'm sure a lot of her sponsors would be very happy to see that. Okay, Parsa, very good. You know, so now you have our picks, everybody out there, for the first major of the season. Parsa and I will be back next week to give our recap of week one before we look forward to week two. In the meantime, you can follow Parsa at ParsaSammy on Twitter, myself at Tennis Connected. Make sure to also check out Tennis Connected, as we've launched a brand new website full with a lot of new features for the new season. You can also follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. You can also download this, this podcast on iTunes. With that said, Parsa, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you, Nima. And everyone, check out that site. It's amazing.
Thanks so much, man. And lastly, for anybody looking who is in Melbourne starting on Monday, Grand Slam Tennis Tours is an official tour provider. So they have a stock of amazing tickets for all of you guys. If you want to check out any match on any court, just tickets. You don't even need to get hotels or anything. So make sure to check them out for that. And finally, like I said, thanks so much, everybody out there, for listening, for supporting us. We're looking forward to a fantastic 2017 in the tennis world. And we'll chat with you guys in about 9 days' time to preview week two and look back on it. Be good and enjoy the tennis.